So last fall, I had the opportunity to get away from the seminary for the weekend and to drive down to Nashville to go run a Spartan race. So if you've never heard of a Spartan race, it's an obstacle course race. So it was about 3.5 miles long, except every quarter mile or so, there would be some sort of obstacle that we had to get past. So stuff like climbing up and over a wall, or crawling under barbed wire, carrying a sandbag up a hill, jumping over a fire pit, right? It was a lot of fun stuff. It was actually really fun. But on top of all of these obstacles, we also had the natural terrain of the course to deal with. So running up and down really big hills, over rocky ground, had to crawl through the mud. At one point, we had to wade through a stream and then scramble up the slippery slope on the other side. And so it was a lot of fun, but as you can imagine, it was very intense, and I learned pretty quickly that I'm not as good of an athlete as I thought I was. The winner of the race, the person with the fastest time, finished in about 45 minutes. It took me close to 3 hours, so it was kind of rough. I should have prepared better. But that's the thing, the preparation. When you sign up for one of these races, they send you a whole bunch of emails with all sorts of tips to help you prepare. So information on what the course is going to be like, so you know what you're getting yourself into. Tips and workouts to help you with conditioning. Advice on what to bring on race day, what sort of clothing to wear, what sort of shoes are good. And one of the most important things that they helped us with, that they gave advice on, was how to fuel up for the race. What to eat or not eat before the race to help you get through it. Because certain foods are very good before a race, and other foods are very bad before a race. And you definitely don't want to go into the race with an empty stomach. You need to be able to keep up your strength, your endurance. And so they had water stations throughout the course to make sure we stayed hydrated. They even recommended carrying like an energy bar or something in your pocket. So in case you lost all your stamina halfway through the race, you could kind of recharge and refuel. But some people still learned the hard way that if you don't have the right nutrition, if you don't fuel up properly, if you're not eating the right things, you're going to have a very hard time getting to the finish line. The Israelites today, in today's first reading, are on a sort of obstacle course race. Except instead of a 3-hour run like mine was, theirs is a 40-year marathon. And it's a dangerous trek through the vast and terrible desert, as it says. They have to face serpents and scorpions. They're hungry, tired, thirsty, exhausted, and they just want to go back to Egypt. I love the story of Exodus, the story of the Israelites wandering through the desert, because the historical events of that story serve as a great allegory or analogy for the spiritual life. So the Israelites are held in slavery in the land of Egypt. It's their land of slavery, of imprisonment. And it represents the slavery of sin that we're all born into. But by passing through the waters of the Red Sea, the Israelites are set free and their enemies are destroyed. And in the same way, us, by passing through the waters of baptism, we are set free and our life of sin is destroyed. And then there's the final goal. There's the finish line they're trying to get to, the promised land. And for us, that promised land is our eternal home in God's heavenly kingdom, eternal life with the angels and the saints. But just like the Israelites, we can't go straight there. We first have to spend a lifetime wandering through the desert, being tested by the many obstacles and pitfalls that life puts in front of us, when we're tempted to doubt the goodness of God, tempted to go back to the land of Egypt, back to that land of slavery and sin, because sometimes it just seems easier than pushing forward. And whenever the Israelites were tempted to go back to Egypt, it usually happened when they were tired and hungry, and they doubted that God could provide for them in the desert, which is why Moses in today's first reading is reminding them that when they were hungry, when they felt like giving up, God did provide for them. He fed them manna, bread from heaven, and that this bread from heaven gave them the strength to persevere, to move forward, and to finish the race. Now, all of the Jews in Jesus' time would have known this story. They would have known about the manna in the desert, the 40-year wandering through the desert. And today's gospel story takes place shortly after the multiplication of the loaves, right? The miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And this miraculous feeding, this multiplication of bread, it reminded all of the Jews of this manna in the desert. And so now they're following Jesus around, asking him for more bread. They're wanting Jesus to feed him again. But Jesus raises the bar. He basically says to them, why are you settling for mere bread? Your ancestors ate bread and then they died. But I want to give you something more. I want to give you something that's actually going to sustain you. I want to give you my very self. I want you to eat my flesh, to drink my blood. This will allow you to live in me, I to live in you, and it will give you eternal life. Today, the church celebrates the great feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of Christ. It's another one of these great feasts that we get as we come out of the Easter season and transition into ordinary time. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the Ascension and then Pentecost. Last week was the feast of the Most Holy Trinity. And now we celebrate the gift of the body and blood of Christ. When we commemorate this great gift that Christ gave us in the Eucharist, which is our spiritual food, it's our bread from heaven, and it nourishes us and sustains us on our journey. And this great gift, it's available to us at every single Mass. It'll happen in just a few moments. Father will take regular bread, ordinary wine, but by saying prayers over them, by praying the words of consecration, they will literally become the body and blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Because just like the Israelites in the desert, our lifetime is a long journey through the desert, from the land of Egypt, the land of slavery, to the promised land in God's heavenly kingdom. And it's one big, long obstacle course, and we need the right nourishment if we want to make it through and get to the end. And so just as the Lord gave the Israelites manna to sustain them in the desert, so too Christ gives us bread from heaven, which is his very body. He gives himself to us in this way so that he can communicate his life to us, so that we don't have to rely on our own strength to get through the journey of life. In the Eucharist, he fills us with his presence so that we don't have to make this journey alone. He gives us his spirit to guide us, and he gives us his strength so that we can persevere.